Welcome to Get Sleepy, the podcast where we listen, we relax, and we get sleepy. I'm your host, Thomas, and thanks so much for joining me tonight. Remember, the more you tune in to this podcast, the more effective it will be at putting you to sleep. So be sure to listen every night on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts, so you never miss a good night's rest. You can easily find Get Sleepy on social media by following the links in the show notes. When you're there, you'll be able to tell us which episodes you've been enjoying most, and you can even vote for stories that you'd like us to work on next. Last week's poll saw a choice between the Rainy Day Bakery or the markets of Marrakesh. We were amazed by the incredible response from all of you wonderful listeners, and it's fair to say both options were very popular, and the winning story will be coming soon. And maybe we won't banish second place after all. You'll hear that one in the near future too. As always, if you'd like to send us a message or you have any questions for me and the team, you can reach us directly via our website contact page. Just go to getsleepy.com. Tonight's story will be narrated by Daniela, a new voice on the Get Sleepy podcast. A Native American girl explores the desert and visits her friend in a neighboring Navajo village for the day. So I hope everyone is doing okay and feeling as good as can be. I know many of us have been thrown out of our usual routine and rhythm at the moment, and it can be quite challenging to calibrate our body clocks and get into a consistent sleep pattern. Now, I don't know about anyone else, but I've always found it a tad discomforting to hear about how much sleep we should be getting. In fact, that in itself is something that's often kept me laying awake at night. But what I've come to realise and tried to focus on a bit more in recent times is that we are all different. Every one of us has our own body, our own mind, and our own needs. Of course, it's good for all of us to try and get a healthy amount of sleep. But I think it's also important not to obsess too strictly about how many hours that amounts to. I try not to put too much pressure on the numbers. What is certainly important is to ensure we're doing our best to achieve a consistent bedtime routine, finding the best ways to help our bodies settle and fall asleep. That way we can feel happy and refreshed more often than not. Which is, of course, the reason we created Get Sleepy. And also, it's important to listen to your own body and what it's telling you. If you find that striving for at least 8 hours is too much pressure, maybe try lowering your expectations first. Be happy if you can get into a good, consistent routine, and then go from there and build on it. And with all that being said, before I babble on too much, let's take a few moments to prepare ourselves to drift off to sleep. The day is now through, and it's time for you to rest. You may have had a busy day where you felt like everything was full speed ahead, or perhaps you went about your day at a gentle, leisurely pace. But whatever the case, picture your foot on a pedal. And this pedal is controlling the pace and activity of your day. When you woke up this morning and started your day, you gently pressed on the pedal, and your daily life began to move. Think about the events of your day Perhaps you had to work. Maybe you did some exercise. Maybe you cooked up something fierce, or just enjoyed some fun activities. Think about how your foot pressed on that pedal. More so in the busy times, and less so in the quieter moments. If the day was hectic or your mind was racing, then that pedal may have even been pushed all the way down. But eventually, as the sunlight began to fade, and you relaxed into the night, you slowly and gradually eased the pressure off of the pedal. You sensed the deceleration of your day, and in turn, you, your body, and your mind all started to slow down. Bit by bit, steadily coasting toward bedtime. And now, you find yourself laying in bed, leaving the last fragments of the day behind. You can slowly take your foot completely off the pedal, easing away any racing thoughts and bringing your day to its end. As the pressure is released, you are now free to stop, rest, and recharge. And as you begin to fall asleep, let your mind drift to a clear desert morning. The land is quiet, and nature is just beginning to wake.
It is a warm day in the village where Kaya lives with her family and community, a tribe of Hopi Native Americans in the American Southwest. Today is the beginning of summer. Kaya sits in the doorway of her home, which is connected to many other homes. They are all made of clay. Even in the heat, the walls and floor feel cool to the touch. Kaya looks out over the rugged, reddish-brown landscape, taking in the beauty of her village. It's surrounded by dozens of tall cacti, all different shades of green, some dark and some light. They are covered in pointy little spines. Some of them have yellow and white flowers at the ends of their arms. Others have a round red fruit on top. These prickly pears appear vivid and bright against the muted, earthy colors of the desert. Kaya walks toward the center of the village. The warm, morning sun shines on her skin. The bare ground crunches gently underneath her sandals, sending an almost unnoticeable cloud of dust into the air with each step. Children giggle as they play games and run around the village. She passes a group of women sitting in a circle. Wooden looms in their laps weave cloths and fabrics with intricate designs. Kaya greets the women with a smile and a brief morning pleasantry, pausing only momentarily before continuing on to the edge of the village. Today, Kaya is going to visit a nearby Navajo village. They call themselves the Diné people, but outsiders call them Navajo. They don't live far. In fact, Kaya can practically see their village from here. The flat, bare desert offers an unimpeded view for miles. She's going to visit her good friend Dolly, a girl about her own age and a member of this Navajo village. One day, a few years back, a rare rain had refreshed the dry and dusty land. Temporary streams weaved across the desert. These were always special moments for the local children, who would make the most of the natural water park that formed. Kaya and Dolly met playing in one of these streams and quickly sparked a friendship. Every so often, they visit one another. It's not an uncommon friendship. Although they are from different villages, their tribes interact regularly, trading with one another and sharing information and new skills. But since they don't see each other every day, these visits are quite special for Kaya and Dolly. As she leaves the outskirts of her village, Kaya follows a well-worn path across a long, open stretch of land. It leads toward a large rock formation, which interrupts the otherwise smooth landscape to the west of her village. The sounds of chatter and children playing have faded to the sounds of the desert. The skies are clear today, as usual. A pair of eagles fly overhead, calling out to one another as they circle in search of prey below. They ride the natural wind currents created by the dry air radiating up from the desert floor. Kaya loves this walk. When she leaves her village, she's immediately reminded of the interconnectedness of the world. Her village is part of this web of life, yes, but it's so much more present here, just beyond the touch of humans. There's a balance, a give and take, that's precious and undeniable. Kaya notices this harmony within everything she sees. It's within the eagles flying above her as they search for prey, without which they would not survive. It is within the cacti who collect and store water, the most important and scarce resource here, It is within Kaya, in her heartbeat, and each breath she takes. Every part of this web takes something, but by doing so, it gives something else back. As she enjoys the profound peace in this web of life, Kaya continues following the footpath. It winds through the foliage and rocks. She crosses the dry riverbed where she first met Dolly. The edges of the riverbed are lined by denser shrubs than in other areas. Below the dry bed lie collections of water, making this prime real estate for plant life here. The branches tickle Kaya's ankles as she walks past. There are several mountains far off in the distance. They are tremendous and graceful from here. Kaya's father took her to one a few years ago so that she could see the land from a different perspective. It gave her a whole new idea of what her home was. Coming around a curve in the path, a herd of bighorn sheep appear. They walk lazily across the land, like they have no destination in mind. Hearing Kaya's footsteps, one of them stops in its tracks and looks up. Its wide, circular eyes focus as it assesses this passerby. Kaya grins and waves at it, certain that it understands her gesture. It looks at her for a few more seconds before turning and continuing on. Just beyond the bighorns, Kaya passes the large rock formation. Its jagged edges show the wear of time. Wind and rain have worn the rest of this land down over thousands of years. But not this outcropping. It looks like a dining table for a giant, Kaya thinks. A cool breeze blows around the rocks, sending freshness across Kaya's neck. It sends tingles up and down her spine, causing her to giggle. The hairs on her arms stand up straight, as if to catch a breath of air. The Navajo village is near. Their homes come into view as Kaya turns the corner around the rock formation. Unlike her village, they don't live in adobe clay apartments, all stacked on top and next to each other. Instead, they live in hogans, sturdy huts made of clay and logs that are spread out throughout the village. A girl stands near the edge of the village. As Kaya draws closer, she recognizes the girl. It's Dolly. She's wearing a colorful skirt and moccasins. Dolly is 13 years old, like Kaya. Her name means blue bird. She tucks a piece of long black hair behind her ear. Kaya last saw her when Dolly stopped by with her family. Dolly and her family often visit on their way to get water. Kaya's village is near the closest source of fresh water, a long river that winds around the base of the mountains. As a result, Kaya visits Dolly's village less often. The two share a warm greeting, like friends who pick up right where they left off. This friendship never seems to change. It's full of laughter and good memories. Hand in hand, Dolly takes Kaya on a tour of the village. First, to the hogan that her family lives in. It's quaint and cozy. Dolly's family is out gathering food and doing chores for the day, so no one is home right now. Outside of the hogan is a group of weavers, just like the women Kaya passed this morning by her own home. The two sit down, and Dolly hands over a loom. Kaya runs her fingers over the square wooden frame. It is smooth mesquite and smells vaguely of campfire. The loom has two rows of little sticks that point up. These sticks will hold the yarn in place. The women are all working on different projects. One of them weaves a circular pattern. Another makes rows of triangles, each a different color. The thick, bright yarn fills the loom as a picture slowly takes form. It's quiet as the women focus on their weavings. Someone hums a song, which the wind carries throughout the village. One woman shares a Navajo story of weaving. They learned how to weave from the spider woman a long, long time ago. The spider woman showed the Navajo how to build a loom with crystals, sun rays, and lightning. Her husband, the spider man, offered the Navajo specific words for loom and yarn. But the spider woman disagreed with his choices and came up with different names. The spider man relented and offered the Navajo people something else. He told them that whenever a child is born, they should rub a spider web on its legs and arms. This will help the child grow up to be a skilled weaver and artisan. Dolly passes Kaya a basket full of wool yarn. She points to the opposite end of the village, where long-haired sheep wander around and graze. The wool yarn comes from these sheep, which are specially bred for their long, thick fur. Behind the sheep, a breathtaking pattern of clouds unfolds. It inspires Kaya to weave an image of the sky. There are different shades of blue yarn in the basket. A white bundle of yarn also catches her eye. It looks like the wispy clouds off in the distance. After unraveling the blue yarn, Kaya ties it to one of the little wooden rods and begins to work the yarn back and forth. It's the kind of activity the mind gets lost in. Repetitive and calm, yet creative. It's the perfect mixture to cause the time to fly by. The simple up and down movement is meditative. With their fingers, the women and two girls thread their yarns back and forth, over and under, row after row. Even as they switch colors, the rhythm of weaving remains steady. Slowly, the pile of yarn grows smaller, and the weavings begin to take shape. Some of the women have been working on their weavings for months or even years. They are labors of love that stretch for yards. But Kaya's weaving today is going to be a small one, a snapshot of the sky. Once she finishes the last row of powder blue, Kaya adjusts a few corners and admires her work. Dolly finishes her weaving too. She removes it from the loom and holds it up. Green triangles intermingle among a lattice of orange stripes. Its simple appearance hides the complexity behind the perfect placement of triangles. The two exchange weavings, appreciative to each have a way to remember their time together. They say goodbye to the weavers, still hard at work, and head further into the village, toward the sheep. The ground is softer here. The plant life is plentiful. Kaya pets a sheep as she walks by. Its wool is tangled and fluffy. It lifts its nose toward her hand in a friendly way, as if to make the petting last longer. Dolly and Kaya stop to inspect some of the plants. Most abundant are small, rugged bushes, cacti, and short succulents. Occasionally, patches of long grass make an appearance. Many of the plants have healing properties. Dolly points these ones out. She plucks a few leaves and flowers, one by one, and places them into deep pockets in her skirt. Kaya bends down to observe an unusually short cactus. A white flower blooms on top of it, which seems out of place, given the surroundings. The flower is silky and delicate, almost translucent. The afternoon sun is falling lower in the sky, casting shadows across the sand. The girls head back to the heart of the village. The desert air is beginning to cool. The temperature shifts here between day and night are significant. Everyone in the village is gathered around a fire. Several dozen villagers, old and young, stand together, all wearing moccasins on their feet. The men have breechcloths wrapped around their waists, while the women wear skirts. The chief of the tribe stands tall and proud. His long, feathered headdress waves gently in the wind. Children skip around the fire, tossing in twigs and leaves. A celebratory mood is in the air. All the villagers seem to be in happy spirits. Dolly informs Kaya that this is the last day of a Kinalda ceremony, which takes place when a girl reaches puberty. The medicine man sings a song to begin the ceremony. He has a red cloth wrapped around his forehead and many necklaces made of beads and animal teeth. He sings to a girl in a long red dress. She smiles, proud to be growing older and wiser. After a song and dance, the girl makes an offering to Mother Earth, a corn cake that she made with her mother the previous day. Some of the corn cake is also given to the rest of the village. It symbolizes the bond of the girl to her mother and her village. Next, the girl prepares a white clay basket. She goes around to all the children in the village. They are scattered throughout the crowd, eager for her to reach them. Once she does, the girl gently takes them by the ears and lifts their heads so that they grow up to be tall and strong. Last, the girl goes into a hogan built specially for this ceremony. Her mother and several other women follow her inside, tie her hair in a detailed knot, and wrap it in deer skin strings. After the ceremony, everyone settles down for a celebratory meal. But the sun is about to set. There are streaks of red and purple in the sky. After a bite of corn cake, Kaya decides it would be best for her to head home. The two head back to Dolly's Hogan, where Dolly gives her a sack filled with potatoes, beans, and nuts. A simple thank you for coming to visit. Dolly wraps a shawl around Kaya's shoulders and collects the orange and green weaving she made. Dolly walks Kaya to the edge of the village. She waves as Kaya ventures off into the desert once more. Though it's not quite nightfall, the temperature has already begun to drop. The shawl is thick and fuzzy. It weighs pleasantly on her shoulders. Crickets chirp in the tall grasses. This is a final chorus before everyone quiets down for bed. Kaya notices an owl perched in a tree nearby. It has wide, circular eyes and is covered in brown and white feathers. The owl begins to call, as if singing a song just for her. The walk back always seems faster. By the time half of the sun has disappeared beyond the horizon, Kaya can already see the outline of her village. The tall adobe houses shine golden in the fading light. A rustling sound from a patch of bush nearby grabs Kaya's attention. She pauses, gazing intently. A hard, round body and pointed nose hide in the shrubbery. An armadillo. It sniffs along the ground with its long snout, crossing the path in front of Kaya in search of dinner. Kaya arrives back home just as the final rays of sunlight disappear. The crescent moon glows up above, giving everything a blue hue. Streams of smoke float upward from a huge bonfire at the village center. Her family greets her and asks about her day. Removing the shawl around her shoulders, Kaya shares stories from her day, unpacks the sack of food, and shows off the weaving Dolly gifted her. Kaya takes a seat around the fire. Resting is a relief. Her legs are tired from the long walk. After removing her sandals, she stretches her toes, allowing the tension to flow out of them. Her body visibly starts to relax, having found a moment of rest after a fulfilling day. The fire crackles as logs burn, transforming to coals. The orange and blue flames are hypnotic. They dance and dip. As the flames rise and fall, they almost appear to breathe. Fire, too, needs air to survive. Kaya enjoys some warm food as the fire begins to retreat to glowing embers. White smoke drifts up and away, disappearing into the night sky. Before, it was a sheet of clear blue. Now it's black, dotted with a million stars, slowly moving in concert. Soon, Kaya will climb into bed. But for now, she's content to look up at the sky. Like tadpoles darting across a pond, shooting stars swim across the blanket of black. It reminds her of the web that connects everything here on Earth. The same web that connects predator and prey, desert and water, land and sky. The same web that connects her and her friend, Dolly.